Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. We're continuing Maral's Netzach Yisro. We're in Perek Hei. Okay, we began seeing in the Maral the significance of the series of three that were involved in the Churban. It took 3 years. The Romans had to besiege Yerushalayim. They besieged on Yerushalayim for 3 years until they were able to break in. When they broke into Yerushalayim, it took 3 weeks. Those are the 3 weeks for them to be able to fight their way to the Beis HaMikdash. And then they were able to destroy it. And the Maral tells us that this is the three is the number of the Jewish people's koyach. The Jewish people's koyach is in the number three. This is why there are three avos, Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, etc. So they had to break through three, whether it was 3 years, and then they got close enough, but then they had to get through a series of 3 weeks in order to be able to come the Jewish people. Okay, we started suggesting an understanding just a little bit to try to bring home what this idea is. We mentioned how the way the system of the Churban and the Nechama is set up, that we have the 3 weeks, which we call the Tlos of the Poranus, 3 weeks of Poranus, when we have the three Haftaras, one after the next, of the dark Nevuas leading up to the Churban. And those are followed by the Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks of consolation, when we have after Tisha B'Av, 7 weeks, basically going pretty much up to Rosh Hashanah, of Haftaras of Consolation, 3 and then 7. We noted the parallel, the almost obvious parallel between that and the system of the 10 Spheres, which are most, in a very broad way, divided into 3 and 7. We have the three upper ones, which are kind of like up and above the system. And then there's the 7 lower ones, which represent, as we've often discussed, Teva, the natural world, the world we live in. In other words, we're exposed to the bottom 7. We're living in the bottom 7. The 3 are up and above. So I just want to connect this to something the Maral says elsewhere. Perhaps this is some of the significance here. We've discussed the concept also. The 3 weeks, the whole system of the Bein HaMetzarim is a period of darkness. It's a period of darkness, but as we've discussed often, the point of that darkness is for us to operate outside of the open glow of Hashem's face. It's for us to operate inside that darkness in order to lay down the foundations for the glorious future. We've already discussed that the stress of the 3 weeks is like verses, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, where it was very much about Hashem showing himself to us through Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Iyar, through the Mun, and all the different great phenomena of the desert. In Sivan, we had Kabbalah Satayra. The months of Tammuz of it's kind of reversed. This is the depth given by a number of Sfarim to the concept of the 3 weeks on a deeper level. Hashem, so to speak, withdraws. And now it's up to us. It's up to us to build of our own accord. Instead of Hashem showing himself to us, and what we call Yisarusa de Le'ela, it's Hashem coming from up and above and showering down upon us. Now Hashem, so to speak, withdrew, and we have to reach up to Him. We have to reach up to Him from within the darkness. And the darkness is really the place to build. It's our work. It's our work. What we can manage to build during this period that will later be the foundation for when Hashem will come back and reveal Himself to us again. We're now meant to build the relationship with Hashem. We're now meant to build what is going to be the foundation for that ultimate revelation that's coming. Now, this has a number of different points of significance. the Tanya says something very profound. And that is that sometimes, in the greatest times of darkness, that's dafka where you can find Hashem closest. The Maharal expresses this in an interesting way, and then we'll see how the Tanya says it. The Maharal says that, as a rule, whenever Hashem takes away a crutch, He comes close to the person. Whenever, the Gemara says that the Shekhinah is close to a person who's sick. Hashem took this person's health away. Health is a natural crutch. When Hashem takes away a natural crutch, then He Himself comes to be there instead of it. And therefore, Hashem took this person's health away, Hashem Himself is much closer. So the Maharal says this is kind of paradoxical. We've cited this paradox a number of times. What's the greatest crutch that we had as the Jewish nation was our closeness with Hashem, the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence among us. When Hashem took that away from us, He drew even closer. Now that's like a contradiction in terms, right? Since Hashem withdrew, and now we don't have Him anymore, He came even closer to us so as to enable us to get through that. How do you put the two together? So listen to what the Tanya says. This is something very interesting. The Tanya says that, I'll give a mashal, as a mashal we've often given, Shimshon Pinkus says this. What's the purpose of a mechitza in shul? So many people will naturally answer the purpose of a mechitza is to keep men and women separate. But if you think about that for a minute, in a standard, truly from shul, that isn't true. Because what would be if there was no mechitza? If there was no mechitza, the men and women would be together? No. If there was no mechitza, the women wouldn't come to shul. So in other words, the mechitza is not keeping men and women separate. The mechitza is enabling men and women to be together. Without the mechitza, there could not be that proximity. You put in a mechitza, all of a sudden you can have men and women sitting together in shul davening because of the mechitza. So the mechitza is actually enabling proximity that wouldn't be possible without it. So the Tanya says that sometimes the Shekhinah wants to get very close to somebody, very, very, very close. But you know what? It's a little too close to happen in open. So Hashem brings darkness. Hashem brings suffering. Hashem brings misfortune, so to speak. He makes things dark. You can't see Him. And then He draws very, very, very close. He's intimately close. When you see the dark surrounding you, you know that He's right there, and that's why it's so dark. He doesn't want you to see Him. He wants you to know that He's there, to reach out to Him, grab hold of Him in the dark. And that's why He makes it so dark. Because without that darkness, the Shekhinah doesn't get that close in an open way. So that's why Dafka, the Bala Tanya says, that in times of suffering, you have to know that the closeness of Hashem is mamish intimate. And this is certainly true on the much broader national level when we're talking about these days of the 3 weeks. This is a time that Hashem is very, very close by. We can connect with Him. Dafka from the depths, Dafka from our sense of destruction and loss, Dafka from appreciating what a lowly state we're in. We can reach out to Him. He's close by. He wants to, He's inviting it. Just in the dark, without you seeing Him. I wonder if we can suggest that this is the significance of the fact that the 3 weeks, it almost seems paradoxical that the 3 weeks of Pur Anos, the 3 weeks that's characterized by the destruction, is then followed by the 7 weeks of consolation. The three is much greater and higher in the terms of the Esser Spheres. The three is much greater and higher, much more sublime than the seven. So why is it the suffering and destruction that's the three, and then the seven is the good times? Why is that considered the greater element, the three? But perhaps the answer is exactly this. The answer is that, you know what? On the contrary, the three is when we're actually building. The three is when we're actually creating that connection. And that's what carries over afterwards to the seven. It's not that the three, okay, we had to get through it, but Baruch Hashem, now we're through it, now we have the seven, we can forget about the three. The three is the time for building. The three is the time for building the foundations upon which the consolation that's going to follow will come. So, on the contrary, these are times to utilize. The Sfarim talk about how these are times that could contain very great potential in terms of drawing close to Hashem, in terms of building a relationship through our, building a reality of Hashem in our lives through our own efforts, not having it handed to us on a silver platter like it was in Nisan and Iyar and Sivan. So, and maybe that's part of the significance of where the three comes in here. Perhaps. Okay. Now, I want to move on to. Okay, we don't have a lot of time left, so I want to just briefly touch on another point. I'm skipping over a number of pieces of the Maharal where he expounds on this Gemara, but it goes a little bit away from the theme of the Churban. I'm going to move a little further where he brings the next piece of the Gemara, which relates just one of the personal tragedies of the Churban. There was a very, very rich woman. Her name was Marta Bas Baitus, the Gemara says. She was a very, very rich woman living in Yerushalayim. And as the siege was growing, the hunger was growing stronger because of the siege. It was getting mamish to the rock bottom. She sent her servant to go buy her fine flour from the marketplace. He went. By the time he got there, it was all finished. So he came back to her and he said, "There isn't that fine flour, but there's like regular flour. Regular flour." She said, "Okay, go get some of that." He went back to the marketplace. By the time he got there, the regular flour was also finished. There was none left. They came back and reported to her. He said, "There's no regular flour. There's only coarse flour." So she said, "Okay, go get that." Came back to the marketplace, and as you might guess, by the time he got there, the coarse flour was also gone. They came back to her, and he said, "There's no coarse flour left, but there is barley flour." So she said, "Okay, go get that." By the time he got there, what do you know? The barley flour was sold out. So she, but in her desperation, rushed outside without her shoes on and to go see if she can find anything to eat. And there are two versions of exactly what happened after that. One version is that she stepped into manure, and because she was so always so pampered and so delicate, she simply couldn't handle it, and she actually died as a result. Another version is that what happened was she found a sucked fig. We're not going to get into the background of it right now, where that fig came from. Whatever it is, this was a fig that someone had sucked on and then dropped on the ground. And this was the only thing she found to eat in her desperation. She picked that up and ate it, and she died as a result of that. So the Maharal just makes a point here, which is also a very important point in general in understanding national tragedy, Chalila, Churban. The Maharal says, people hear this story and they think, I'm paraphrasing, people hear this story and they think, this is a story of a shlamazel of a servant. It goes back and forth, it's used up. And okay, go get the next thing. And as shlamazel as it gets, the Maharal says, actually, it was exactly the other way around. What this story is meant to bring out is how the gzeira of Shemayim works. Hashem decided something, it's going to happen. Meaning as follows, this woman's time had come. And therefore, she sent her servant out to look for flour. He was only looking for fine flour. As long as he was only looking for fine flour, there was no need for Hashem to rid the market of all of the flours. And therefore, all the other flours were still there. Had the servant initially gone out to look for anything he could find, it all would have disappeared. But since he wasn't looking for coarse flour, the coarse flour didn't have to disappear. Once he came back on a mission looking for coarse flour, now Hashem made the coarse flour disappear. Exactly the other way around of what it seems, that he kept on missing the boat. It's the other way around. He came out looking for coarse flour, now the coarse flour is gone. He came out looking for barley flour, now Hashem has to take away the barley flour because there was a gzeira in place. And the Hashem will manipulate the surrounding circumstances according to the gzeira. This is something with numerous implications. We'll see other examples of this, but we will put that off until tomorrow. Emet Hashem, Bli Neder. We'll end here. Good night.